Three extra returns overnight sounds pretty good until it vaporizes your savings. In today's episode, I'm talking about the five risky investments to avoid and one to be cautious on. When you're building your wealth, sometimes it's not just about what things you decide to invest in, but also the things you decide not to invest in. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, hey there, wealth builders. It's Brian Muller. Today, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be talking about what not to do. Specifically, we're going to talk about five investments that could seriously damage your financial health. And we're going to talk about one to be a little cautious on. So investment number one, 3X leveraged ETFs. And I've been getting a lot of questions about these lately, especially with all the social media hype. And I get the appeal. Who wouldn't want to triple your returns of whatever specific index you're trying to follow, or they even have these on specific stocks like Tesla or Nvidia or some of the other technology stocks. And these are ETFs that try to 3X the upside of a particular index or particular stock. The problem with these instruments is they're not designed for long-term holding. And let me break this down just a little bit with a real example. Let's say you invest in a 3X leveraged S&P 500 ETF. If the S&P goes up 1% in a day, you're going to be up 3%. Sounds great, right? But if the market drops 1%, you're going to be down 3%. Leverage works on the way up, but it also works against you on the way down. But here's where it gets tricky, and what a lot of people don't understand about these 3X leveraged ETFs. There's a daily reset. And what that means that in volatile markets, you can actually lose money even if the underlying index ends up flat. It's called volatility decay, and it is a wealth killer. So these 3X leverage ETFs, they reset their leverage every single day. This daily reset leads to something called path dependency. Now, this is getting a little too much in the weeds, but what this means over time is your returns are not going to match three times the index returns. So just let me illustrate this real quickly. Imagine the S&P 500 goes down 10% one day and up 10% the next. With a regular S&P 500 fund, you'd be down about 1%. 0.9 times 1.1 equals 0.99. But with a 3X fund, day one, you're down 30%, leaving you with 70% of your investment. But day two, you're up 30% from that lower base. So 70% times 1.3 equals 91%. You've lost 9% when the market is only down 1%. This effect called volatility decay gets worse over longer periods of time. And that's why these 3X leverage ETFs are not to be used for long-term investing. Most people that invest in these 3X leverage ETFs are trying to get the most upside on a daily basis, typically day traders or short-term investors. But long-term investors, you should avoid 3X leverage ETFs at all costs. And really, I think they shouldn't be part of someone's investment strategy for building wealth over time. The second risky investment to avoid is penny stocks. I know what some of you are thinking, but you know, Brian, what about that one penny stock that went up 1,000%? Here's the hard truth. For every penny stock success story you hear, there are thousands of failures that nobody talks about. These stocks are often subject to the pump and dump schemes. They have little to no transparency and minimal regulatory oversight. So avoid penny stocks. About 9 out of 10 of them end up going bankrupt. Investment number three is unregistered ICOs and crypto tokens. Now, I'm not against cryptocurrency as a whole. I think Bitcoin and Ethereum are great long-term investments for a small part of your portfolio. But unregistered initial coin offerings, ICOs, and random tokens are a different story. They often promise revolutionary technology, but they deliver nothing but usually empty wallets. Remember back in 2017, if you followed cryptocurrency, there was an ICO boom. And studies show that over 80% of those ICOs were scams. And if someone's promising you the next Bitcoin, chances are they're promising you a ticket to the poorhouse. So avoid unregistered ICOs and crypto tokens. Investment number four to avoid is something that maybe your parents invested in, or an uncle, or you might even know a friend that has done this. And investment number four is timeshare properties. This one hits pretty close to home for some of you. Timeshares are marketed as affordable luxury vacations, but they're often terrible investments. The maintenance fees keep rising, they're nearly impossible to sell, and you can usually rent similar properties for less than your annual fees, just using something like VRBO or some of the other sites. Plus, you try getting out of one, it's like escaping a financial black hole. They're really tough to get out of, and they're really not good long-term investments. Investment number five to avoid is high-yield investment programs, sometimes called HYIPs. If someone promises you guaranteed returns of 1% daily or 20% monthly, run. Just run. These are almost always some type of Ponzi scheme dressed up in a fancy website and really complicated jargon. Remember, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, Bernie Madoff taught us this lesson the hard way. Now, we discussed the five risky investments to avoid. Now, let's just talk about one of the most popular ETFs in the market. And it's the Invesco QQQ Trust, commonly known as the QQQ. And it's an ETF that you can buy that is focused on the NASDAQ, kind of the best 100 stocks in the NASDAQ. And there's some pros and cons to investing in this particular ETF. It has outperformed the S&P over time, but with a lot more risk. The QQQ tracks the NASDAQ 100 index, which includes 100 of the largest non-financial companies listed on the NASDAQ stock market. Now, let's just break down both sides. The advantages, and there are quite a few worth noting, is you do get instant diversification across some of the world's most innovative companies. You know, we're talking about tech giants like Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Nvidia. And these companies aren't just leading their industries, they're really reshaping how we live and work. The QQQ has historically shown really strong performance because it's very tech heavy. And over the past decade, it's outperformed the S&P 500 in many of those years. But obviously, remember, past performance doesn't guarantee future results. A third advantage of the QQQ is you do get professional management with relatively low expense ratios. The QQQ's expense ratio is about 0.2%, which is quite reasonable considering the exposure you're getting to some of these high growth companies. And it's a quick way to get own 100 companies that are very innovative. Fourth, and this is particularly important, is it's very liquid. The QQQ is one of the most actively traded ETFs on the market, which means you can buy and sell shares easily without worrying about significant price impacts. But now let's flip the coin a little bit and look at the potential disadvantages, because every investment has some drawbacks. The biggest concern I see with the QQQ is concentration risk. You know, it has 100 companies, but the QQQ is heavily weighted towards the technology sector. as of kind of early 2024, technology companies made up over 50% of the fund, and there's also about 15% in communication services. You know, it's great when tech is booming, but it can really hurt when the sector faces any type of headwinds. And we've had plenty of headwinds with technology. If you look back to 1999 and 2000, when we had the tech boom and bust, a lot of those technology stocks went down 60, 70, 80%. So when you have such concentration in two sectors, over 65% in just two sectors, you increase your chances of bigger downturns when those industries are out of favor. And also when it comes to concentration, there's a lot of individual stock risk. The top 10 holdings account for more than 50% of the fund's total assets. That's a lot of eggs in a relatively small number of stocks. And another important consideration is volatility. You know, tech stocks traditionally experience larger price swings than more defensive sectors like utilities or consumer staples. And if you're nearing retirement or have a low risk tolerance, this level of volatility might keep you up at night and probably is not appropriate for someone that wants to create an income in retirement. And here's something many investors overlook, the sector blind spots. The QQQ doesn't include financial companies, and it has limited exposure to sectors like energy, materials, and real estate. And in periods when these sectors outperform, the QQ investors might miss out on some of those gains. And you're not completely diversified in all the industries that make up our economy. So the bottom line with an investment like the QQQ is it has its place in a well-thought-out portfolio strategy. But it's not something you should put your entire portfolio in, and probably should be limited to 10 or 15% of a diversified portfolio. And make sure that if you're using it with other ETFs, make sure those other ETFs invest in different things, investing in mid-cap stocks, for instance, in small-cap stocks. You could buy the QQQ, invest in the ETF that's focused on the S&P 500, and buy a large cap growth ETF, and they're all gonna have the same stocks in them, in the top 10, typically, because those companies are the ones that most money managers are chasing after. So you could have three ETFs, the QQQ and the S&P 500, and a large cap growth ETF, and you wouldn't have any true diversification. If you're looking for a truly diversified all-weather portfolio, you can combine the QQQ with other investments that give you exposure to some of these other sectors of the economy like small cap and mid cap and international and emerging markets. So here's just an action item for you today. I'm not sure if you've looked at the actual sector exposure of your portfolio and where you have money, how much you have in small caps, mid caps, and large caps. But what percentage, if you were to do a deep dive of your portfolio, what percentage of your portfolio is in technology and growth stocks? How much do you have in growth, whether that's large cap, mid cap, or small cap growth, and how much do you have in value? If you're overweighted in technology, and I would say overweighted would be anything above 30%, this might be a time to rebalance and find a way to diversify your portfolio so you don't have so much dependency on one sector. Back in 1999 and 2000, many people had way too much in technology. And those individuals, I was one of them. I was early in my investing advising career, and I had too much in tech stocks. And I talked a little bit about that in earlier episodes of the Wealth Decisions podcast. Now, you might be wondering, you know, Brian, what should I invest in instead of these risky investments to avoid or putting too much money in the QQQ? Now, I can't give specific investment advice, but here are some general principles. Number one, focus on diversified, low-cost index funds or ETFs and try to diversify that in different sectors, small cap, mid-cap, large-cap, have some international and emerging markets in the mix. And if you're close to retirement, make sure you have some fixed income funds to balance out the risk and to protect the wealth that you've built up. Always invest for the long term. Understand what you're investing in. Be skeptical of guaranteed returns. And never invest money you can't afford to lose. Just remember, wealth building isn't about finding the next hot investment or get-rich-quick scheme. It's about consistent, informed decisions and making good quality investments for the long term. And sometimes the best investment decisions are the ones you don't make. So that's it for today's episode, 5 risky investments to avoid and 1 to be cautious on. And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at momentouswealthadvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.